Okay, tonight is Monday night, May 13th, or fifth day of the month of Sivan. This is the Gemara share. We're up to Sukkah, Daf Mem, Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. Okay, Rabotai. I have one He'ara on that which we spoke about last week. Before we start the next Mishnah, if you remember correctly, we had pointed out the Rambam in Perek Gimel of Hilchos Klei HaMikdash mentions in Halacha Hey, which this Perek is dealing exclusively with, the task of the Leviim, and amongst the tasks of the Leviim are to be singers, to perform the mitzvah of Shira. That's where the Rambam decides to tell us in Halacha Hey about the obligation to sound the Chatzotzos. Bimei ha-moadot, kulam, uberashei chadashim, hayu ha-kohanim, tokin b'chatzotzrot, b'sha'at ha-korban, v'ha-leviyim orim shira, shine'emar, ubiyom simchaschem, uvmoadechem, uberashei chadashim, uskatem b'chatzotzros. Uskatem b'chatzotzros. And then, so that's what he says in Halacha Hey. So the Rav actually used this as a point of departure to highlight something which is a titanic machloikis between the Rambam and the Ramban. And based on this particular Rambam, the Rav proposed that the Rambam only disagrees with the Ramban only halfway, not completely, as opposed to way typically the Shitas HaRambam is known as. So if you will turn your page for just a second, you will have on the back of the page is a copy of Sefer HaMitzvot of the Rambam and the Ramban's critique on the Shoresh HaRishon. So just a word. As many of you may know, the Rambam wrote his Sefer HaMitzvos as a reaction to the Halachot Gedolot. The Baal Halachot Gedolot was coded the first Sefer HaMitzvot and listed what he considered was Taryag Mitzvot. There is no indication anywhere in the Torah that there are 613 Mitzvot. There aren't any. There is a tradition which Chazal have employed with, it's quoted in the Maseches Makos, that there are 613, based on the Pasuk, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe, and the Gematria of Torah is 611, and two mitzvot we will hear Wednesday morning directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anoichi and Lo Yielecha. That leads to a sum total of 613. However, there is no indication what constitutes a mitzvah, what does not constitute a mitzvah. So the Bahad made the first attempt to identify what are the 613 mitzvot, and the Rambam wrote his book, Sefer HaMitzvot, of the Rambam, as a reaction to the Bahad's system of coding what constitutes a mitzvah. And what the Rambam did was, before he got to counting his list, he came up with shrashim, rules and principles, which determine whether something should be counted as a mitzvah or should not be counted as a mitzvah. There are 13 shrashim. So if you remember, many years ago, that used to be the sequence of Friday night. After we went and finished, we did all of Sefer Achinuch. So for many weeks, we did the Rambam's Shrashim in Sefer HaMitzvos on Friday night. So, and then, after he does so, he then presents the list of 248 mitzvot aseh and 365 mitzvot lo taseh. So in Shoresh Aleph, the first Shoresh, the Rambam takes issue with the Bahag because he counted mitzvot midrabanan amongst the mitzvot of Taryag. Megillah. Right, he counted the mitzvah of Megillah as one of the 613, Hadlakat Neirot, Nitilat Yadayim, and one of them is the mitzvah of Hallel. Hallel. Now, from the Rambam's perspective, as he writes in Hilchos Chanukah, Kriyas HaHalel Le'olam Mitzvah Midivrei Sofer. The recitation of the Hallel is always a rabbinic commandment, and hence the Rambam was troubled why the Bahag classified Hallel as one of the Taryag Mitzvot. In response to the Rambam, the Ramban wrote his Hasagot on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot, his critique, where he disagreed with the Rambam, both in terms of principles as well as in terms of actual counting of mitzvot. So the Ramban will take issue with the Rambam on several mitzvot. On certain mitzvot which the Rambam counted as a mitzvah, says the Ramban, I disagree, this is not a mitzvah. On certain things which the Rambam omitted, the Ramban says, you omitted to count this particular mitzvah. Perhaps the most famous illustration is the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which the Rambam did not count amongst the 613, and the Ramban, in his first critique of a mitzvah saseh, is why did you omit the mitzvah of Yeshivat Eretz Yisrael? So here, the Ramban is going to defend the Bahag and say, you know what? I'm not going to try to defend him about Hallel, about Megillah and Chanukah and Evan, but I am going to defend him about counting Hallel, because the Ramban's perspective is that Hallel is a mitzvah d'oraisa. So if it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, it deserves to be included in the 613. And what the Rav is going to suggest is that since the Ramban will cite a pasuk which the Rambam just cited in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, the Rav will propose that at least in Mikdash, Hallel is a d'oraisa, even according to the Rambam. And that which the Rambam writes, that the recitation of Hallel is always only midrabanan, is only bigvulin, outside of the Mikdash. That will be our first he'ara tonight. So let's see the holy words of the Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvot. Yes. Yes, that's correct. See, right, that is correct. There are others besides the Baha'i. That's correct. Ve'amnam, says the Ramban on the top of the page, kar hodinu shebal halachot machnis b'cheshbon hazeh mitzvot shel divrehem. I already acknowledge, I admit, that the Baha'i counted mitzvot which are only midrabanan. Ve'lamadnu alav zechut ve'katavnu hitnatzluta. And I try to say something in his defense and spare him from the attack of the Rambam. Aval hit orarnu al hahalel, but I have an additional comment to make on what? On the mitzvah of Hallel. Mipnei she'ein lonu mufurash behalel shelishchitat ha-pesach ba'achilato v'halel shelnetilat lulav de'oraita v'rishon de'pesach ve'atzeres. Bechol elu ein lanu ra'aya shehi medivrehem. By all of those, there is no real proof that the Rambam can present that Hallel for Shechitas HaPesach, Hallel on Sukkot, Hallel on the first day of Pesach, and on Shavuot, Atzeret, that it's not mid-Oraisa. Ukvar amu bigmar tainus, Hallel d'Rosh Chodesh lav d'Oraisa. The Gemara says at the end of Maseches Tanis that Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is not a d'oraisa. Umashma'ot zeh, and the inference that should be derived from this Rambam, from this Gemara, debiyamim shehayachid gomer behem es Hallel hu d'oraisa. As opposed to Rosh Chodesh, when we only say what we call chatzi Hallel, which is an indication that the recitation of Hallel is only a minhag, not required al pidin. So there, that's midrabana. But any time you recite what we call Hallel Hashalem, that would be the oraisa. Ube maseches erchin dorshubo hashir yihye lochem kileil hit kadesh chag laila hamekudash lechag taun shira. She'eino mikudash lechag, eino tu'un shira. Any night that is endowed with what? With what? With sanctity, kilel hit kadesh chag, a Yom Tov that is endowed with sanctity at night requires Shir, Hashir Hazeh. So what night of the year is there Kedushat Hayom and requires Shira? First night of Pesach. First night of Pesach requires Shira, Hallel, and it has Kedushas Hayom. And that pasuk is a reference specifically to the night of Pesach. V'afal pi shezem l'divrei Kabbalah. Even though I grant you, says the Ramban, it's not exactly a pasuk in the Chumash, but in certain respects, psukim from Nevi'im have a status of a da'oraisa in some respect, and it's called divrei Kabbalah. Avol yomar hanavi. Kiyashiru le'el ha-moshia otam miyad sancherev ka'asher hei mishorim b'leil hikadesh chag v'hu leil achilat ha-pesach. What is the Navi saying? That you should sing a song unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he delivers you from the hands of sancherev, just as you sing a song on the first night of Pesach. Shehayu mishorim b'kol gadol. V'imhu midivrehem, and if it's only midrabanan, lama yitameh Rabbi Yossi, why would Rabbi Yossi get all puzzled and excited and say, efshar shachtu Yisrael es pischeyem, v'lo yamru shira, not nuetz lulaveyem, v'lo amru halel. Rabbi Yossi was bewildered. You mean to tell me that Am Yisrael slaughtered their korban Pesach and took their lulav and didn't say halel? What's the problem? Yeah, they didn't say halal. Why? Because there's no mitzvah to do so. So if Rabbi Yossi is getting puzzled and says, they obviously did say halal in conjunction with Shechitas HaPesach, they assume that what? That there is a mitzvah midaraisa. V'halo David amro k'divrei harav, v'hu ubeit dino tiknuhu obestin shela achreyem, Tiknu also al ha-pesach ve'al ha-lulav. V'kevod shetiknahu eina l'Rabbi Yossi kushya al mi sheyitein osa ha-takana l'David ha-omer ha-halel o l'bezden ha-acharon. So don't really, maybe you shouldn't get puzzled about Rabbi Yossi. There's no real indication that it's a doraisa, because maybe David HaMelech instituted that what, you should say halel. Or some other bezden that would still only make it only mid-Rabbanan. Only midrabanan. However, now he continues. The hanira, at the little bracket. Hanira midivrehem, shehu min ha-Torah. Kimoshe pirashti, just as I claim. Now listen to what he says. V'yihyeh halacha l'moshe misinai. Either it's a halacha l'moshe misinai, which is a very dangerous statement to make, that if you don't have a source to hang your hat on, just say it's a halacha l'moshe misinai. Well, you can't refute that. You can't prove it, and you can't refute it. Typically, we only believe that certain things are halacha l'moshe misinai if the Gemara tells us that these things are halacha l'moshe misinai. When there is a mesorah, that it's halacha l'moshe misinai. Exactly. So that mesorah somehow should be recorded. We've come across in Masechah Sukkah several activities which are halacha l'moshe misinai. Arava in Mikdash, 7 days, is halacha l'moshe misinai. What? Nisuch Hamayim is halacha l'moshe misinai. Every halacha about the making of a sukkah, that a mechitza has to be 10 tefachim high. The halacha of lavud, that the walls only have to be within 3 tefachim. The halacha of Doifan Akuma, that if there is no schach, 4 amos, 8 feet away from the wall, we make believe as the wall curves and reaches the schach. All of those are halacha l'moshe misinai. But it's documented. To claim, and in fact, Rambam claims that one of the telltale signs that something is halacha l'moshe misinai is that there's no debate about it. No one has ever argued that in order to be mekayim mitzvah of achilas matzah, you have to eat less than a kezayis. Nobody. Because shi'urin is halacha l'moshe misinai. No one ever said you can have a mechitza of 2 feet. It has to be asarat tefachim. No one disagrees. And here about halel, there isn't universal opinion whether it's d'oraisa or d'oraisa. The Rambam holds it's d'rabbanan. And one of the telltale signs is that it's a halacha, that there is no debate. Okay, so that's a suggestion of the Holy Ramban. It's somewhat difficult. Oh, says the Ramban, Shehu bichlal hasimcha shenitztavinu pa. It's part of the mitzvah of simcha. Kimo shekatuv, look at the pasuk that he quotes. Uveyom simchaschem uvemoadechem uverashi chachechem uskatem bachatzotzros alalosechem vealzivche shalmechem. What a coincidence, the same pasuk that the Rambam quotes for telling us that what? That there are tkios in the Mikdash. Says the Ramban, what is Hallel? It's Shira unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki ikar HaShira Bepeh. Because I, in this respect, agree with my good friend Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon, who paskins ikar Shira Bepeh. Primary way of fulfilling the mitzvah of Shira is singing. Ukli and all the utensils, Libasume Kolohu. Vinitz Tavinu, Bisimchat Hashir al Hakorban, Ushilo Bishata Korban, Bichlala Simcha, and even not in the context of the Korban, that's part of the mitzvah of Simcha. So whenever there is an element of Simcha, that Simcha demands Hallel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ela Shemi Ato Rashi Chadashim Bigvulin. Where is there no Hallel on a D'oraisa level on Rosh Chodesh? Only Bigvulin. Mibnei She'eno Mikudash L'chag Ve'eno Ta'un Shira. Since it has no sanctity in Gvulin, there is no sanctity whatsoever to Rosh Chodesh, because there's no way to manifest itself. Kedushas Hayayin has to express itself. Either a Issa Malacha, or some particular mitzvah that is generated as a result of the Kedushas Hayayin. Rosh Chodesh has nothing in Gvulin. Nothing at all. In the Mikdash, at least has a Korban Musaf, and possibly others, but in Gvulin, that's where Hallel is Rosh Chodesh, is only Midrabbanan. And therefore, what do you say? Half Hallel. Half Hallel, because it's only a Minha. Visham b'maseches erichin, minayin le'ikar shira minatoira, mehacha, tachas asher lo avadeta es Hashem alokecha besimcha v'tuv levav, Ezo hu avoda shehi besimcha betuv levav, haveimer zushira. In Cain, efshar shinidrosh bayamim tovim shekatuv simcha v'nitrabu mimkol minei shira. I just saved a tree. Saved the tree. Fine. So the Rav proposes that Rambam quoting the same pasuk as the Ramban does, you could now claim that this, all of this, Shira, Hallel, all are to fall under the same roof. In which case, it is possible to claim that although the Rambam holds that the mitzvah of Hallel is typically a derabanan, that's only bigvulin. But Hallel, b'mikdash, has a din d'oraisa. And we have come across several other instances in which the halacha cited by the Rambam, namely tekiya, which is in the perek of what? Shira, was done to accompany several activities in the Mikdash having nothing to do with karbanos. For example, we learned on daf, the beginning of this perek, that they blew the chatzotzros in conjunction with what? Sheivas Hamayim. Sheivas Hamayim has nothing to, not a kiyum in korban, it's not a korban, and yet they sounded the chatzotzros. Rashi quoted earlier in the fourth parak, on daf mem hei, that when the kohanim took the aravot and put them zokfit al gavei hamizbeach, hakohanim tiku v'horiyu v'taku. They blasted the chatzotzros at the time of Arava. Why? Because Sukkot is a halach of Simcha Yisera, so we demonstrate Simcha in several other fashions. By virtue of the fact that Rambam and Ramban shake hands that certain halachot of Shira, according to the Rambam, chatzotzros, according to the Ramban, Hallel, emerged from the same pasuk over Yom Simchaschem of Moadechem, it is possible to consider that there is a halacha of Simcha in the Beis HaMikdash, which would even demand Hallel. Which would even demand Hallel. And this is the primary difference between Rosh Chodesh, Bigvulin, and Rosh Chodesh B'Mikdash. Because in Mikdash, you have over Rosh Chodesh, because there is a Korban Musaf. And it's considered a day, an element of Simcha as well in the Mikdash. In the Mikdash, Rosh Chodesh had a Chi of Simcha. And in fact, I told you in the name of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav's father, that based on the Sifri, which says, Uv'yoyim Simchaschem Elu Shabbosos, that there is a Chi of Simcha in the Mikdash, even on Shabbos as well. Not only Rosh Chodesh, that's the Sifri. That's the Sifri. And, that's the Sifri. And in fact, with this, Rab Chaim answered his son, Rab Moshe Soloveitchik, who posed the following question to his father, Rab Chaim. Tatala, I know you have the custom to follow the Vilna Gaon, not to wear tefillin on Chol Shemoed. Chaim never wore tefillin on Chol Shemoed. Because the Gra did not. The Guin did not wear tefillin on Chol Shemoed. So Rav Moshe's son asked him, Tatala, the Ramah paskins, that not only are you supposed to wear tefillin on Chol Shemoed, you're supposed to make a bracha as well. So it's a suffix d'oraisa, whether you should wear tefillin or not. At least you should put on tefillin without a bracha. I'm not saying you should make it. At least put on tefillin to make them not to make a bracha, to find kind of mitzvah without a bracha. So Reb Chaim said, "By me is the nishkal can suffer. I have no suffer. Why? Because Chol Shemoed is endowed with the same kedushas hayayim as what? As the yontif itself. It has the same kedushas hayayim." And if a Yontov is considered an os, and therefore you don't wear tefillin on Yontov, Chol Shemoed has the exact same os kedusha, os quality, as the rest of the Yontov. And therefore he said, for me, this is no question whatsoever. What? The Chol Shemoed? Because the halacha is that the Mikra Kodesh applies to all 7 days. There is an Isur of Tainis, Isur of Avelus, and those are the typical tell signs. There might be an Isur Malacha Midoraisa, depending on if you hold an Isur Malacha, Machlek is the Ramam and the Ramban, whether it's Doraisa or the Rabbana. You see that Musaf, there's a Korban Musaf, so it has elements of Kedushas Hayyim. In fact, Rabbi Moshe followed up and he says, Tatala, would you think that they wear tefillin on Rosh Chodesh in the Beis HaMikdash, where there is some degree of Kedusha Sayyim? And Rab Chaim said, I don't know. There are no mikorot that discuss whether you wear tefillin in Mikdash on Rosh Chodesh or not. There are no sources. But he says, yet there is a possibility that we might extend it and not wear tefillin in the Mikdash on Rosh Chodesh either.
Well, on Rosh Chodesh. What's the Ramah's reasoning for doing that?
Because the Ramah says it's a weekday, and it's not really os. It has certain qualities of the yontif, but it's not a yontif. It's only Chol Shemoed. The only day you don't wear tefillin is on yontif. Ramah says it's a regular day. Regular day. And that's become the difference between the yeshivish people, Ashkenazim, and Chassidim. Chassidim decided to follow the Vilna Gaon and not wear tefillin. And that's it. And Yerushalayim, where they accept Minhag Agra, you will never find anybody, any shul, putting on tefillin. You want to wear tefillin, do it in your hotel room.
That's right.
Not in shul. They don't allow wearing tefillin. What?
I got caught.
You got caught. They told you to take it off.
No, I saw the Rabbi David was conferring with the guy.
Right.
I told my son, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
And I said,
so yeah, that's what they.
Now I went underground as a Marano.
Okay. Because typically that's what they do. They don't, at least in Yerushalayim, they're very machmir about that. No tefillin, because in Yerushalayim they file a minhag rav. So in which case, you now have an unusual possibility that the Ramban and the Rambam would shake hands that Halal and Mikdash is a Din D'oraisa because of the element of Simcha. And as we have said 60,000 times, the primary expression and understanding of Simcha is that a person has an opportunity to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem shivas yam. So when you come closer, when you're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is a greater degree of Simcha. Therefore, a greater degree of expressing your Shira, praise unto HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you are a little closer. The closer you are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greater the obligation to demonstrate that through various signs. I'll just give you one telltale proof, then we'll move on. You know that on Yom Kippur, when we sing, when we do the Avodah, we say, V'hakoy hanim, right? That's not the way it really happened. Not the way it happened. According to the Rambam, the only ones who were Koreo Mishtachav Umamaidim were those who were in the Azara. So when they hear the shame, they have a much greater obligation to demonstrate Hachna'a and Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it requires Pishut, you're dying, you're not dying. Falling, prostrating yourself completely. Those who were in the Ezra's Nashim only said Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusei Lavoed. They didn't do both. They did not do both. They did not do both. And in fact, that's why the Rav once pointed out that in the Ezra's Nashim, you know, for women to go ahead and to do, you know, to fall Kairim on Yom Kippur, has no, they can do it, not, but has no halachic makar. Because in the Ezra's Nashim, all they said was Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusei Lavoed.
Why can't you do both?
You know, it's not that you can't. There's no chiyuv to do so, and people did not. They only if you're in the Azara did you now prostrate yourself. That was Vishtachavisa Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. If you're in the Ezra's Nashim or a little far back, so they made that demonstrative statement. They could have, you could have argued they did both, but they didn't necessarily do that. Didn't necessarily. Okay, long again, weiter. Long again, weiter. Yeah. So we start the Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. Mi shelo ra'a simchat beit hashoeva, lo ra'a simcha miyamav. Anybody who did not experience the simcha of Simchas Beis HaShoeva never really saw complete Simcha before. That was the pinnacle of Simcha. So the Mishnah will describe exactly what they did. B'motzo'ei Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Chag, on Motzo'ei Yom Tov of the first day of Yom Tov, Yardu LeEzras Nashim U'misaknin Shom Tikun Gadol. They go down to the Ezras Nashim and they made a great tikkun. So the Gemara says, what is this great tikkun? They built a balcony. They built a balcony. Because in the Ezras Nashim, although it's called the Ezras Nashim, men would stand there as well. Men would stand there as well. And they were somewhat concerned of pritzus, of ta'aruvot, men and mixing men and women. So they decided to make these gizuz tera'ot, like these balconies, or like the chairs that we have,
the bleacher
seats, to be the bleacher bums, to have for the women. That's what they did. Tikkun gadol. Now Rashi claims as the Mishnah itself says, Yardu Lesnasan Umisaknin Sham Tikun Gadol. They made a tikkun gadol. So what did they do? They built these bleachers on Motzoi Yontif. The Gemara says, why didn't they build them on Erev Yontif? Because it would disturb, it would limit the room space in the Mikdash, and it would lead to much too crowded conditions. That's what the Gemara seems to say. The Gemara does say that. However, for some strange reason, the Rambam in Perek Ches, I forgot to photos that for you, Halacha Yud Beis, the Rambam writes, V'keitzad hayu osin, erev yomtov harishon, hayu misaknin ha-gezuz taros. On Erev Yontif, they made these gezuz taros. And everybody asked, like a Mishnah asks on the Rambam, Rambam, did you see the Mishnah said, it says, b'motzo'ei yomtov harishon. So the Rambam, so he answers in defense of the Rambam, the tikkun gadol was that they separated the men and women. That's when they did that, when only on Matzah Shabbos, for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Because during Simcha time, that's when you can lead to a little hoilulus. During the Yom Tov time, when you're in the midst of spiritual service, there was not much of a concern that there would be inappropriate activity between the men and the women. But when you're having a jolly good time for Simchas Beis HaShoeva, and who knows if there's a little liquor floating around, whether or not it would lead to something inappropriate. So the answer is what the Rambam had in mind. The Tikkun Gadol was specifically on Yom Tov. That was Matzah Yom Tov. On Matzah Yom Tov. And the Lecha Mishnah says, Vosot Gishpard, what forced the Rambam to change the Mishnah? The Mishnah seems to say that the Tikkun Gadol, as the Gemara will explain, was the making it of bleachers. Lecha Mishnah claims, because that type of construction is asur on Chol HaShamoim. It's asur. What type of activity is permitted on Chol HaShamoim? Only Dover Avud. This is not Dover Avud. It's going to be a little crowded. That's why I'm going to allow you to do Malacha on Chol HaShamoim. The Rambam believed, claims the Lecha Mishnah, that this type of activity is asur completely on Chol HaShamoim. And therefore the actual building of the bleacher seats had to be done on Erev Yom Tov. So claims the Lecha Mishnah in defense of the Rambam. I'm not convinced that that's what the Rambam had in mind, but he undoubtedly does say, as opposed to the Mishnah, that the construction of the Gezuz Taros, the bleacher seats, were constructed on Erev, first day of Yom Tov. Erev, first day of Yom Tov. And the response which most Rishonim give is, if you study Maseches Chagiga and look at the, after the Shemitah year, what mitzvah do we observe post-Shemitah year during the Yom Tov of Sukkot? Mitzvah Hakel. Now, the purpose of the Mitzvah Hakel was to assemble all of Am Yisrael to hear the Melech read Mishneh Torah, parts of Mishneh Torah. And the Gemara tells us that they built the Bima Shel Eitz upon which the Melech stood Dafka on Motzoi Yom Tov HaRishon and not when on Erev Yom Tov. Because they did not want to congest the Beis HaMikdash, which was loaded. And for this reason, says the Gemara, there was no Hakel until Motzoi Yom Tov HaRishon. Why don't you have Hakel on the first day of Sukkot? The Torah doesn't say, B'motzei Chag HaSukkot. The Torah doesn't say that. The Torah only says, after the seventh year, B'Chag HaSukkot. The Gemara dashes from a pasuk. It's a drop. It doesn't say black and white. And everybody says that they didn't have the Hakel ceremony mitzvah on the first day of Yom Tov because they had not built the platform. Why didn't they build the platform? Because they didn't want to congest the area. And many attacked the Rambam. Well, how did they build the Bima Shel Eitz if the construction is Asur? apparently the construction would be mutter, and they were concerned with what? With the crowded conditions, and therefore building the bleachers for the women would be just as permissible, and there's no compelling reason whatsoever for the Rambam to disagree with the simple words of the Mishnah. But you'll take a look at the Rambam, it's Perek Ches of Hilchos Lulav, Halacha Yud Beis, where the Rambam disagreed with the great Mishnah. He writes, it's b'motzoi be'erev yom tov harishon hayu misaknin tikun gadol. Continues the Mishnah. Minoros shel zahav hayu sham. They had multiple menoros made out of gold. Nowhere is there any indication how many menoros there were. The arbala sfalim shel zahav birashehem, and there were on top of these menoros were four what vessels of gold. The arbaa sulamos lechol echad veechad. The arbaa yiladim mipirchei kehuna, and they had four ladders going up to these little sfalim, these little vessels. Each one of them was obviously filled with oil, as the Mishnah will say. Ubi yadehem kadim shel meya ve'esrim lug shehein matilin lechol sefer ve'sefer. 120 lugin of oil was put into each little vessel. That's an awful lot of oil. And each menorah had four of these. It's just unbelievable how much light. And so the Mishnah will tell us, everywhere of Yerushalayim was illuminated by the light. Now, so who is participating in this? Pirchei Kehuda. Pirchei boys. 14th Avenue Pirchei. Little boys running around in the Pirchei of Kehuna. Mi baloe michnese kohanim umeha mainihen mehen hayu mafkiin ubahen hayu madlikin. What did they do? They made the wicks for these lamps of oil from the pants of Michnesai, the pants of Kohanim, Shebalu, that had worn out. Can't wear worn out pants for the Avodah, it doesn't look nice. And from Haminain, are the Avnetim, says Rashi, the Gartel. The Gartel. And Hayu Mafkiin, says Rashi, what is Mafkiin? They ripped. What they did was mafkiin says korin laasot psilot. They ripped up the pants and the gartel to make wicks for these oils, for these oil basin to illuminate the Simchas Beis Hashoeva festival. So take the last sheet on the page, a Gemara in Masechus Shabbos, which discusses and Tosis elaborates on a very important issue about the usage of Big Day Kahuna for wicks for the night of Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Tani Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama quoted in a braisa. Psilos Ushmanim Sha'amru Chachamim Ein Madligim Ben B'Shabbos Ein Madligim Ben B'Mikdash. In Bame Madlikin is the parak, we say it every Friday night. Bame Madlikin Bama Ein Madlikin. So there are lots of things, lots of oils and wicks, which cannot be used for Friday night. Says Rami Bar Chama, those very same wicks and same oils that are oil you don't have to worry about because only Shemen Zayis is acceptable, but the Torah doesn't tell us anything about the type of wicks. The same disqualifications that apply to Friday night candle lighting apply equally as well for what? For the wicks of the Mikdash. Shine emar leha'alot ner tamid. How does that indicate that you have to have? Well, what's wrong with these wicks? Because it says to have a light that's always there. Who tamid level? Who amar? He explained it. Kidei shetehei shal heves ole me'eleha velo shetehei ole al yedei dover acher. Once you will put the light to these wicks, they have to be able to burn fluidly by themselves, and it should not require any additional assistance to illuminate them. That's what you learn out from Lahalos Ner Tamid. Since these wicks sometimes don't burn as well, and therefore they are disqualified for Shabbos. Why are they disqualified for Shabbos? Shema yitakein. Perhaps you'll adjust the wick, and that will lead to an isador raisa. You'll fix it if it's flickering or whatever it is. As a result, says Rami Bar Chama, it's disqualified for what? For mikdash as well. Now, when it says for mikdash, what does it mean for mikdash? For the mitzvah of no, not for simchas beis hashoev. It means for the mitzvah bahalos chos haneirot el mul panei amara yoiru shivat haneirot. There it says, he'elo neirosel. Rashi says he'elo neirosel shetehe shalheves ole me'eleha. Toshma, the Tani Rabba Bar Masna, Big Day Kehuna Shebalu, Mafkiyin Osan, Umehen Hoyosim Psias Lamikdash. Says the Gemara, I skipped something. Tanan, Mibale, Michnese Kana Mehaminehem, Hoyo Mafkiyin, Umehen Madlikin, Simchaspe, Simhen Madlikin. So how can you claim that what? That oils and wicks, which are disqualified for Shabbos, are disqualified for Mikdash. One of the things that they used for the wicks was an avnet. An avnet was made out of shatnez. It's made out of shatnez. So if it's made out of shatnez, it has wool in it. And one of the materials that have been disqualified is what? As wicks, is wool. Asks the Gemara. You just said that what? That you cannot use anything that is disqualified for a wick on Friday night, which would include wool. And now that applies to Mikdash. How did they use the Avnet, which was made out of Tcheles, Argaman, Tolashani, Vishesh, Mashdar, to drape the linen, but it had linen and wool in it. That's why it's shatnez. And at in the Beis Hamikdash, the avoda is doicha, the lav of sharpness. Asay dochalot asay, but it has wool. How can you use it? Answers the Gemara: Simchas Beis Hashoev Hashani. Simchas Beis Hashoev Hashani. In other words, it's not an avoda. So since it's not an avoda, the mitzvah of lahalos ner tamid doesn't apply to what? To the candles of Simchas Beis Hashoev. So if the mitzvah of Lahalos Ner Tamid doesn't apply, under those circumstances, there is absolutely no reason not to use wool or a fabric that has some wool. Take a look at the Rashi, 6 lines to the bottom. Simchas Beis HaShoev HaShani, Delo Ksiv Ba Lahalos Ba. Doesn't say it. V'lav Do Raisehi. Hence, there's no requirement that it burn continuously well. That's what Rashi answers. The Ritva, commenting on that sugya, says no. That in order to be marbe besimcha, they couldn't care less if it was ola me'eleha. All they wanted to do was what? Generate these huge madurot. And if it was necessary to keep feeding it until it became a bamba madura, they didn't care about it. And as a result, it makes absolutely no difference whatsoever. Tosfos raises another question. Take a look at Tosfos, Simchas Beit HaShoev HaShani. Tema. This is Bamir Avunder. Heichi shari lahadlik. V'halav tzorech korban. How could you possibly use bigadim, which have been worn out, which is not in the context of tzorech korban? V'omah v'perek beis the kedushin. Big day kehuna shebalu mo'alim bahem. There's an isa me'ila. Isa me'ila means no permit to derive personal use. The only thing that you can use for something that belongs to Hegdesh is tzorech Hegdesh. Not your own personal simchas, as important as Simchas Beis HaShoeva is. V'doichik loymar, and it would be somewhat forced to say, Lev Bezdin Masna Alehen, Dimat Sorech Yeshlehen Lehasnos Bishvilzeh. There is a well-known halacha called Lei Bezdin Masna Aleihen, which means Bezdin can make a Tanai when something was originally sanctified. And it can say, we invest Kiddusha in this particular item until such time when it will no longer have its Kiddusha. What is its time? When it becomes worn out. So there is a possibility that you set up the original intrinsic Kiddusha al Tanai. And there are many parallels to that throughout Shas. Famous halacha of in the fourth parak of Megillah. Batei Knesset Shebebavel al Tanai Heinasuy. That there is a Tanai in Batei Knesset. Because in Beit Knesset, you're not allowed to do other activities in a Beit Knesset. Can't do even other mitzvot. Can't have a wedding. Can't have a board meeting in a shul. Can't even have a bris in a shul. Because a Beit Knesset is reserved only for tefillah. But if you have a Tanai at the time when you build the Beit Knesset, that you're stipulating that the Kedusha will allow, so therefore under those circumstances, we allow it. So if you want to suggest that Bezdin made this Tanai, Al-Minas, that they should be able to use these garments for the what? Simchas Beis HaShoeva asks Tosis, for what purpose? You mean to tell me there was no other wick in all of Yerushalayim? No other garment? Nobody had a pair of dungarees that they could have used as a shmata, as a wick? You had to take Big Day Kahuna Shabalu and avoid the Iser Me'ila by creating a Tanai Bezdin before they were even created? What would be the purpose of it? So Tosfos answers Venira Lari, the Hoil Uchvod Hakarban Hayo Osin, the Silva Shapta Mayan Besasan, Tsorech Karban Choshevle. So Tosfos says, you know what? I really don't have a good answer. So I'm going to claim that what? That this is like an ancillary Tsorech Karban. It's not really a Karban. It's not really a Karban. And if it's not really a carbon, there really should be an Issa Me'ila. But since it's somehow related, a shtickle to a carbon, because the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is related to what? To the Nisuch HaMayim, and the Mayim is on the Mizbeah, so you can come up with a far-fetched claim that what? That what? That it's a Tzorech Karbon. That's a Tzorech Karbon. And everybody asks on Tosfos, we have learned in our Gemara that Klei Shir of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, according to the Chachamim, is not Doicha Yantav. We learned that for a blah amit and a half. Klei Shir, utensils for Simchas Beis HaShoeva is not Doicha Yantav. Now, what is the nature of the Isur of playing a Klei Shir on Yantav? As we said, is it an Isur Doraisa? No, it's a Shmus. So they were not willing to what? Forgo a shvus for something that only has an ancillary tzorech yantav. And here we're going to wave an Issa d'oraisa, an Issa me'ila, because of this so-called fabricated tzorech karbon. It's l'chavod ha-karbon. If it's l'chavod ha-karbon to allow and permit what? To allow and permit an Issa d'orais of Issa Me'ila, Kal v'chaymer ben b'noy shel Kal v'chaymer, that they should have allowed to play the Chalil, HaChalil Makah, in the context of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which is only an Issa d'Rabbana. The mere fact that we see that our Gemara told the line, apparently not all things which are quote, even quote, korban, deserve to wave an Issa d'Rabbanan, and certainly not an Issa d'Oraisa. And therefore, some claim under those circumstances that this violates the Issa Me'ila, and they can't understand it under any circumstances. Under any circumstances. Skip two lines. No, don't skip two lines. It says Tosfos. V'ha de Omar Boreres isha chitin laor beis hashoeva. If what? If there is a real isur me'ila, and the only reason why we allow you to use this isur me'ila because of the tzorech kvoy hakorban, how could the women in the streets of Yerushalayim used it to what? To be borer chitin. They took a grain and they had to separate the chaff from the grain. Well, that's using the illumination from something that is me'ila, that is mukdash to the base. You can't use it for your personal use. Says Taisis, loy shahaisa boreres. It's not that women actually separated the chaff from the grain with the light of the Beis HaShoeva. Ela shahaisa yichola livrar. It was so illuminated that they could have. It's like going on the highway when they're doing construction at night. So those lights, so you go to the big ball orchard in the South Bronx for a night game, it looks like it's in the middle of the daytime. That's what it means. But not that they actually did it. It means that it was so illuminated that you could have.
Is there really this me'ilah on light?
What? Oh, that's the next line. Says the Yerushalmi, Umihu be Yerushalmi dieg mehacha, dekol umare vareach ein bohem mishim me'ila. Says Tosis, the whole kasha, the Yerushalmi, question doesn't get off the ground. Let's assume even if the women went ahead and were actually separating the chaff from the grain via the light of the Beis HaShoeva. So how did they violate the Issa Me'ila? They enjoyed the light. Says the Yerushalmi, Kol Marev Areach, taking a sniff, somebody walks by the Beis HaMikdash and he smells the Ketores. Doesn't violate the Issa Me'ila. Somebody goes ahead and he enjoys the singing. Whatever it is, whatever the sound, whatever is produced. The Gemara talks about if you lean against the shade of the Azara. It's a whole Gemara about that. Where you have the walls of the Mikdash, you now, well, there's shade. So whether it's sail, there's also Ein Bohem Mishum Me'ila. So it's Taisus, the Kasha doesn't start. Because the only time that you violate an Issa Me'ila is if you're Mishtamesh with the item itself. But a derivative that comes through kol or marev or reyach ain't bohem mishum me'ila, in which case all other peoples have no problem deriving any benefit, and the only issue was for the use of the big day kahuna themselves, claims Tosis that is kvoid hakorban, and for that you are allowed to use, and it is not a violation of the Issa Me'ila. That's not a violation of Issa Me'ila. All right, we'll stop here.
Is that Yerushalmi arguing? You spent a lot of time on the people getting the Reach from the Zara.
What?
We didn't spend all the time in the studio.
That's correct.
Play a role.
Yes. Hold on 1 second. Next week, I have to give the shiur Tuesday night. I'll be out of town Monday. Tuesday night next week. That's May 21st. Tuesday night, 8 o'clock.
All right. Yeah.